Vrindavan Mahimamrita. Oh, Sri Vrindavan, I am now very fortunate. I have become the object of your invaluable mercy. You have given me permission to reside within your boundaries, a permission that is prayed for by Lord Brahma, Shukadeva Goswami, Sanat Kumar, and others. This greatest of gifts gives me hope that someday I will directly serve the splendid, charming, eternally youthful, amorous, fair, and dark divine couple, Radha Shyam. Oh, Sri Vrindavan, you're more affectionate than millions of mothers. Your supremely wonderful transcendental glories are forever recalled by Lakshmi, Shiva, and a host of great souls. Yes, it's true that you have now appeared before my eyes, and you have granted me Brajavas, which is sought by the most advanced devotees. Why do you now hesitate to allow me to serve the rasic janas that live within your boundaries? Punyat punyam mangalam mangalanam divyat divyam kamadam kamadanam sarat saram premadam premadanam anyat brinda ranyato manyatam ta nanyat padami na shrinomi na chintayami nanyat brajami na bhajami na chashayami Pashami jagrati tata sapnapina nanyat Shri Radhika rati vinodavanam vinaham Radha vaktra sarodra divya marupam Radha drisho ranjanam Radha vakshasi divya nilavasanam Radha mana shrinkalam Radha navi sarakuvayam Madhura Madhura Nana Pushpa Sauravya Lavyam Madhura Madhura Bringa Shreni Jankara Ramyam Madhura Madhura Gayat Kokilam Shari Kirir Madhura Madhura Gushta Pranabandhu Purvandam Madhura Madhura Radha Kinkari Klipta Shayam Madhura Madhura Radha Krishna Kailini Kunjam Madhura Madhura Tat Premon Mandadali Brindam Madhura Madhura Brinda Ranyam Evashritosmi Jayati Jayati Radha Prema Sare Ragada Jayati Jayati Krishnas Tadrasa Parachrishna Jayati Jayati Brindam Satsakinam Dvayakyam Jayati Jayati Brinda Kananam Tatsadama Namostu Vrindavana Sundarabhyam Namostu Vrindavana Vibramabhyam Namostu Vrindavana Jivanabhyam Namostu Vrindavana Nagarabhyam Namostu Vrindavana Satkriyabhyam Namostu Vrindavana Sarvasabhyam Namostu Vrindavana Purnatabhyam Namostu Vrindavana Gocharabhyam Yadeva Satchit Rasa Rupa Bhudhir Vrindavana Stasa I'll read a translation, one prayer in the front, 316. Hey sadhakas, hanker after Shyam, who is a clever bumblebee, hovering around the lotus flower of Radhika's sweet mouth. Shyam is a black mascara bordering Kishori's lotus eyes, and Shyam is a splendid blue chunari or veil covering Radha's breasts. Shyam is a chain binding Radha's heart. Shyam is a blue lotus growing the nectar of Radha's navel. Shyam is a deer mark on the moons of Rasheshri's effulgent toenails. And when you look at the moon, Radharani's toenails are like a row of moons. So when you look at the moon, it says that it looks like the mark of a deer on it. There's like a black part of the spot of the moon. And the Vedas, the Buddhas say it's a rabbit. Looks like the side view of a rabbit, but in the Indian literature they say it's a rabbit standing on the side with two ears like this. No, what did I say?
A deer
with two horns. So that's, in other words, that there's some dark, the moon is white, and there's some black mark, Kalanka. Some dark mark, but that whole spot together looks like a deer. So right around these nails, fingernails or toenails, are like a glowing white moon glistening, but there's a black mark there, and the black mark is Sham. Sham is reflected in her toenails. So now that's probably another Saraswati's poetry and some of our invocation prayers. Now we're in chapter 7, starting new Sattaka 7, more glories of Vrindavan, kaleidoscope glories of Vrindavan. If you're not living in Vrindavan, by hearing these classes, you may be encouraged to come to Vrindavan, visit Vrindavan, or move to Vrindavan. If you're already living here, then you'll appreciate, or it'll increase your appreciation of the place that we're trying to enter into. Because this is the real Vrindavan, we may be in kind of a facsimile of Vrindavan. Text 38, 240. Yad bhasa sakalam vibhati chirat asin dvaityam yad apyadbhuta. Premananda maharaseka jaladir bindur lavena priyam. Yat satam anusatva yogi sakalam yan maduri vaibhava. Ascharyanam anumatra patram akilam vrindavanam tanu numa. Let us glorify Vrindavan, from the splendor of which everything is manifest, which delights the spiritual material worlds with a drop from the nectar ocean of wonderful bliss of pure love, from the existence of which all existence follows, and the wonders of the glory and sweetness of which the entire world contains only a fragment. Basically, Vrindavan is the origin. Anything wonderful, beautiful, effulgent in this world, it originates with Vrindavan. Because that's the topmost center of the spiritual world, Vrindavan. So that's the origin of everything. There's a part of Garga Samhita where Radharani is praying to Krishna, and she's mentioning all the different Purushas, and she's saying, when you become Vishnu, she's glorifying Krishna. When you become Vishnu, I become Lakshmi. When you become Varaha, I become Bhumi. When you become this, I become that. When you become the Adityas, I become this. And all the expansions of Krishna and the male forms throughout the universe of various avatars and incarnations, and Radharani is the counterpart. When you become Atri or whatever, you know, she's the counterpart. When you become Shiva, I become Parvati, and like this. So Radharani is Radha and Krishna. This basic point is, as Radha and Krishna are the origin of all personal expressions of the Lord and His Shakti, then the Vrindavan is the original form of all places, of all existence. The Sandini potency of Vrindavan, which is Balaram's form, expands in throughout the universe. Wherever you find something existing, that's just a spark of the original existence of Vrindavan. And that's what's being said here, text 38. The effulgence, this translation says, I offer my humble obeisances to Sri Vrindavan, by whose effulgence both products of matter and spirit are illuminated. So we generally consider that the objects of this world are illuminated by the sun in the day and the moon in the night. But the original sun is Vrindavan. Krishna Surya Sama Maya Andhakara. The Krishna Surya, Krishna's sun. So the effulgence. Once Prabhupada was explaining, I don't know how the scientists would take it, but he said that the effulgence, of course, the center of Krishna is Vrindavan. He's centered there. And the jyoti of Krishna lights up the whole spiritual world. The Brahma Jyoti is the effulgence of Krishna's body. Prabhupada explained that the Brahma Jyoti is reflected into the sun, and the sun is simply reflecting the light of the Brahma Jyoti. The scientists don't so much like that idea. They like to say that every second there's millions of atomic bombs going off or something. Prabhupada says the moon is cooling because It's covered, the moon is covered with gems, and it's reflecting the light of the sun, but there's a dry ice atmosphere around the moon, like a ice layer around the moon, like a halo around the moon. So when the sun hits the moon, the jeweled surface of the moon, it reflects off those jewels. Then when it passes through comes back towards us, but through that ice layer, then it gives that cooling effect of the moon rays. I heard Prabhupada explain like this. Very interesting. The moon is covered with jewels. Because you've heard of pearls, no? That's the stone of the moon. But how is it? There's no oceans on the moon, or are there? I don't know. It says if you pass away in the dark time of the month, dark time of the year, then you go to the moon, Dakshinarayan. If you're very pious, you go from the earth planet to the moon. Moon is very near the earth. And you go there, enjoy heavenly delights, and take birth again in the earth. If you pass your body in the light time of the year, that's mentioned in the Gita, and the, what do you call it, the Uttarayana, then you go to the sun planet and get purified. Anyway, we'll probably come back here and to the earth planet. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said it takes three births. If you're chanting 64 rounds a day, you'll pass one life in Aparad Nam. Then after that, next life, you'll struggle and get the Namabhas. Then the third life, you'll chant Shudanam. Of course, we can only hope that this is our third life. That's the good news. Just like in the Indian marriage, when a couple gets married, they do the Pharaoh. They go around, the husband and wife circumambulate the yajna seven times to indicate that they'll be together seven lifetimes. So this is the beauty of Vrindavan, is that this is the origin. Because if Krishna is the origin, the Hamsarvasya Prabhupada, then he's the origin of everything. Light, effulgence, all the elements. So this is just to remind us that the original place is Vrindavan. Attaining a drop of the ocean of whose ecstatic love the entire world becomes fully satisfied, and whose existence everyone else's existence is dependent, and whose wonderful sweetness the universe aspires to receive even a drop. So basically, everyone is searching. Every jiva is searching for beauty and love and sweetness. That this whole universe, everyone's looking for that. Demigods are looking for beautiful wives of other demigods to steal, and beautiful girls to snatch here and there. And by that, they think this is how they'll get the sweetness and love that they're searching for. But Vrindavanas Thakur is trying to point us towards the origin of beauty and the origin of sweetness and love. And if someone contacts just a drop of that original transcendental beauty, sweetness and love, then he can find the satisfaction that his heart is hankering for. Our hearts are anxious. They're not satisfied. There's a sense of lacking, because we're not feeling fulfilled. So Vrindavanas Thakur, he's trying to say here that the whole world, if they just get a drop of the of that ocean of ecstatic love from Vrindavan, just a drop, then the whole world can submerge in that drop. So this was the mission of Prem Avatar. The golden avatar, the Prem Purushottam Lord Gauranga, he wanted to submerge the whole universe in a drop of that love. And all of his fleet, you could say, his fleet of devotees, his Sangha, Krishna Varna Trisa Krishnam Sangopankashta Parshadam, his Sangha, his Parishads, they were all emissaries of that ocean of love. And they went in different directions and they distributed the love of Vrindavan, Braj Bhakti, Braj Bhav. And no other incarnation of the Lord and no other avatar or appearance of the Lord has ever done that. Krishna came and relished that Braj Bhav here in this place of Vrindavan. The Lord Gauranga, he sent his Senapati Bhaktas far and wide. And he even went to East Bengal and bathed in the Padma River, and he left a deposit there of his prema, of that Vrindavan prema. And he started saying, Narottam, Narottam, Narottam. Narottam means a great high Nara, a very highly exalted human being. And everyone was saying, who is that? It's not us. And then they came to understand the future, someone would appear there and bathe in that river. It's a prophecy. They have these movies, The Prophecy, based on the Bible or whatever. So the prophecy was made by Gauranga, Narottam, Narottam, that he left his prem in the Padma River. And Narottam appeared there in Keturi, I suppose, and East Bengal. And then that prophecy manifests, and he bathed there, and he received that prema. And then after he distributed it all over Manipur especially, and Assam and other points over there, he was given that part of the world. Then he returned to the Padma River and returned the prema to the Padma River. Because he left his body, they bathed his body, I believe so. And his body dissolved because his body was made of Prem Ras. Gauranga's Prem Ras, he had received, because of Prem is Ras, it's liquid, it's flowing, it's moving. So it's a natural place to deposit in a river. Like a nice storage place. So then he entered that same river and became again, merged back into that river, the Prem merged back into that river. The river is still flowing because the river of Gauranga Prem flows in the hearts of the pure devotees. So wherever they go, they carry that river and distribute it to others. So this is Prabhupada Saraswati Thakur. He's trying to say that the world can be illuminated by Vrindavan and all hearts can be fulfilled by Braja Prem and everyone can become wonderful, experience wonderful sweetness by getting a drop of Braja Prem. You see, even the common man, they hear about Kurukshetra Krishna and Dwarkadish Krishna, the king, the ruler, the moralist, the hero, but they don't find sweetness there. They find their heart satisfaction in Krishna, Gopal. How many people have deities of Dwarkadish in their house? But how many people have deities of Gopal in their house? Because you live with someone you like to live with. You get one girl and put her in your house because you want to live with that girl. So Krishna can come in any form you choose. But somehow people's hearts naturally choose Gopal. He's popular. Because he's sweet. He's funny. He's a balak. So although he doesn't appear to be very, very powerful, but it's the beauty, it's the charm and the sweetness which people are looking for. And they find it in Gopal. And some jivas, they find sweetness in Radha and Krishna. There's many more deities of Gopal. Even Gopal has made inroads to Radhakund. When we first came here in 77 to Radhakund, the only Gopal Mandir that we could find, a deity of Gopal on the Prikamarg, was in the Manipur Gopal Mandir. All the other temples only had Radha Gopinath or Radha Govinda for years, even up until, I don't know, 2000 or so. Maybe last 10 or 15 years at least, maybe less. Gopal was starting to pop up here and there. Popular demand. It reminds me, in the Prikamarg, there was one Govardhan Shield that was established there. You're going on Vrindavan Prikamarg, and right, you're going, it used to be all through the sand, and it's all quiet area in the back. And you finally come back to civilization. When you got to the road, the Vrindavan Mathura Road, and then you cross that road and went a little further, then you'd be at ISKCON, that last leg. But before that road on the right-hand side, someone established a big Govardhan Shila there. It's quite big, and people go around it. There's a little tiny wall there. But when he first came there, he was just a Govardhan Shila. Then after about a few months, somebody put a Shiva Linga in front of him to share the same altar. So they thought, wait a minute, Shiva should be here too. Why just Giriraj? And I think somebody else added a Hanuman there too. So they thought Giriraj was lonely or something. So this seems to be a speciality in India. They always add a few more deities. No, there's always room for another deity. Text 53. Narasta Chayagunyam Hari Rasada Punyam Sakripaya Darayan Yantar Bhattam Vimala Parananda Suganam Hiram Brindaranyam Bahada Tula Bandariya Susama Mahavanyam Danya Shrayati Bahumanyas Jagatam. Saraswati Pad says, any fortunate person certainly becomes glorious within the three worlds by taking shelter of Sri Vrindavan, which is beyond the three modes of material nature. Vrindavan bestows ecstatic love for Krishna, and Vrindavan is most auspicious. Vrindavan has manifested in this world of her own sweet will, and which is the unique, and Vrindavan is the unique, ecstatic, sanctified forest. Unique, ecstatic, sanctified forest. That's Vrindavan. Another translation. He who takes shelter of Vrindavan, which is beyond the modes of nature, which is by its own mercy, which by her own mercy shines on earth. Vrindavan generously gives the nectar of pure love for Lord Hari. And Vrindavan is filled with splendid bliss and flooded with unequaled sweetness. And Vrindavan is honored in the three worlds. Because the three worlds means Bhur Bhuva Swa. And those worlds are ruled by various demigods. And they come down here, they worship Vrindavan. The Lord of the higher world, the highest world, is Satyaloka, Brahma. Bhur Bhuva Swa. And go to the highest plane. Because Burbhava Swa, then above that, Burbhava Swa, that's the plane of the demigods, Indra, Chandra. But then beyond that, you have Janalok, Maharlok, Tapalok, Satyalok. And those, Satyalok is the highest. Brahma Bhuvana Loke, Punar Avritin Arjuna. Brahma comes down and worships Krishna every day. In fact, he offers his head to Vrindavan. All four heads, he bows to Vrindavan. He says, Krishna, I honor your Vrindavan. As it says here, that Vrindavan is honored by the three worlds. So Brahma is honoring Vrindavan. Lord Brahma is honoring. He's the Lord of the topmost part of the world, Satyaloka. And he's honoring Vrindavan with his four heads. He says, I offer, not only bowing down, but he offers his four heads. Take my four heads and have Leela there. So he offers his four heads in a service of Radharani. And his four heads become the four mountains of Varsana. Varsana Dhamma ki jai. There's Dangar, Vilaskar, Mangar, and then the Maralaji's Mandir. It's one mountain. And Brahma is there. On the way up the hill, there's a small temple of Brahma also. And right near that temple, there's a small footprint of Radharani in the rock. You ever saw? A little tiny. You saw? It's like this big. Just big enough to fit in our heart. The universe is, the Vrindavan is honored by the three worlds. In one translation says someone becomes glorious if they take shelter of Vrindavan. That's also true. Vrindavan manifests it out of her own sweet will. Nirasta chaigunyam hari rasada punyam. Nirasta chaigunyam hari rasada punyam sakripaya. Dharanyantarabhattam bhimalaparananda suvelam. Vrindaranyam atul madhurya sushma. Sushma. Mahavanyam danya shayati bahumanyas tri jagatam. He who takes shelter of Vrindavan, which is beyond the modes of nature, by which its own mercy shines on the earth. Vrindavan generously gives a nectar of pure love for Lord Hari. So her mercy. But one becomes pious, punyam, and pure also by living here. That's why we so much encourage everyone, somehow or other, just stay here. Text 56. Now we'll study text 56 through 66. Uchavachavigānita brahmanandāvali manditam trigunam prakritim tirtva jadadukantaratmikam aparavara vistaram ekamananda sagaram svaprakasha mahasvacha Jyoti Rupam Param Param. All glories to the unlimited, unfathomable ocean of transcendental amorous pastimes, which is situated beyond the three modes of material nature, found in the innumerable universes that are filled with material universes of miseries. That unfathomable ocean of transcendental amorous pastimes known as Vrindavan is self-effulgent, pure, and without any tinge of contamination. Jada Dukantaran. Jada. That's the material world, no? Jada Dukha. Amrit Atmikam. Filled with miseries. These universes. Inside these universes, so much dukkha. Aparavara vistaram ekamananda sagaram svaprakash maha swacha jyoti rupam paramparam. Beyond the world of the three modes of nature, which is decorated with numberless universes and filled with suffering, lies a shoreless ocean of bliss, that is the self-manifested brilliant effulgence of the spiritual world now descended on this earth planet. When this entire universe disappears at Pralaya, Vrindavan, the lotus of Vrindavan, floats on those flood waters, unaffected, unchanged, and unmoved. Because it's a transcendental realm. Shoreless ocean of bliss. Ekamananda Sagaram. I guess the Paravara Vistara means shoreless, huh? Apara. Aparavara Vistaram. Ekamananda Sagaram. Ananda Sagar. We're in Bhava Sagar. Bhavasagar means the ocean of material existence. 58. Chaitanya Matra Nirvasam Nistarangam Nirakulam Nirastagyatakraryam Param Brahmeti Yadvidu. According to learned scholars, the definition of Supreme Brahman is that which is the source of all consciousness and which is devoid of the contaminations of agitation, ignorance, and the effects of ignorance. Chaitanya Nirvasam. Well, that's the Supreme Brahman. No agitation, no ignorance, and no effects of ignorance. That's 58. The wise know the spiritual effulgence, free from the ways of material change and without suffering ignorance. Without suffering ignorance or the activities of ignorance as the Supreme Brahman. So that's the Supreme Brahman. From we went from Brajadam to the Supreme Brahman. This is the stream of consciousness of the author, who is an ecstatic Premika Bhakta. One minute he's talking about, one verse he'll talk about the Kunja Leela of Radha and Krishna. Next verse he'll talk about the perils of seeing a woman's face. And then next verse he'll talk about Radha and Krishna's Rasa Leela. The next verse he'll talk about, oh, I'm attached to my material body. So it's sometimes it escapes the ordinary flow of logic. The movements, Vaishnavara Kriya Mudra. It's very difficult to understand the mudras, the postures, the gestures. You know, mudras, I can dance, they have mudras. You know, teach all the kids all the mudras. So Vaishnavara Kriya Mudra, their actions, or Kriya means their actions, their activities, the movements of their posture, their activities, their speech. Their line of thinking it escapes the ordinary person completely, and even the devotee cannot, the neophyte devotee cannot approach the level of consciousness or activity of the advanced devotee. You have stories in the Bhagavatam where Parvati is sitting on the naked lap of Shiva, Param Vaishnav Shiva. Mahajan, he's a Mahajan. Swayambhur Narada Shambhu. Prahlado Janako Bhishmo. Pilo Janako Bhishmo. Balirvaya Sakirvayam. In the sixth canto of Bhagavatam, Yamaraj is preaching to the Yamadutes about who are the great acharyas of Vedic wisdom. And he includes himself last in the list. Vayam, me also, me too. He says, Swayambhuva Manu, Narada Muni, and Lord Shankarshan Shiva. So sometimes we find in the sixth canto of Bhagavatam, Parvati sitting, she's sitting on the naked lap of Shiva, and Shiva's discoursing on Harikata, celibacy. And he's giving a discourse on celibacy to the rishis, and they're appreciating very much. And King Chitraketu was cruising in his flower airplane Ferrari, and he kind of snickered at that. He mildly laughed, and Lord Shiva didn't mind because he's a great bhakta of Lord Vishnu, as is Lord Shiva. He's basically a godbrother of Shiva. Shiva worships Sankarshan Vishnu, and Chitraketu worships Vishnu. He was worshiping Vishnu while he was flying around, singing songs about Vishnu with all, a bunch of Gandharvas and Kinnaras and Kinnaris. And he was just had his ghetto blaster out the back of his flower airplane. It was blasting off the universe with the latest sounds from, you know, Barsane Wali Radhe Shri Radhe Radhe Radhe. So he was cruising around the universe, around the neighborhood with his convertible down and his radio on full blast. And this way it was entertaining everyone with the glories of Krishna. Like we see here at Govardhan Prikamarg, people come around with these huge floats and things. And so many glories of Krishna being belted out of those speakers. And Shiva didn't pay any heed to it, but Parvati said, "What's this? You know, you should show more respect to my husband." So then she cursed him to become a demon. But he was a devotee demon. A really good devotee demon. We're also demons, but we're not good devotee demons. Vritrasura is the hero of the sixth canto. I mean, Ajamila, there's many heroes. The sixth canto is full of heroes. And Ajamila is a big one. Chitraketu, of course, that's Vritrasura is the hero there. His prayers are full of gopi bhav, braj bhakti. The sharanagati bhava of the gopis is revealed by Vritrasura. Vritrasura upakya, the prayers of Vritrasura. Many of the devotees get great inspiration. The sara grahi Vaishnavas seeking the essence of love, prema, they get great inspiration from the prayers of Vritrasura and sixth canto, and their wonderful purports there by Vishwanath and other acharyas. So this is the thing. So now it takes 59. Taranta paramashcharyam jyotir aisham vichintaya charvaniya mahananda sandra dim ati nirmalam. So we heard about the Supreme Brahman, how there was free from all ignorance, and want to go beyond that Brahman and find out what's behind it all. Behind that Supreme Brahman is the beautiful form of Krishna. So Sarasvatipad was turning his mind from the beauty of Vrindavan to the beauty of Krishna. But while approaching the beauty of Krishna, he had to pass through the Brahman, the Supreme Brahman that surrounds Krishna and surrounds all the Vaikuntha planets. And he had to cross over the entire effulgent region of the Paravyom and Vaikuntha and land in that sweet realm of Vrindavan. And he's there now, he's arrived there. And he's he's telling us what he's seeing there, advising us to meditate on what he's seeing. So in this verse he's telling us, just meditate on Krishna's wonderful transcendental abode, which is way beyond the Supreme Brahman that I just described. And although the Brahman was free from defects and there's no ignorance or agitation, but now let's get to the real essence. This Krishna's form, meditate on that abode of Krishna, that Haridam, is supremely relishable and it's the ocean of pure transcendental bliss. As Prabhupada says it, that's why we say it like that. He says bliss, just like all the other yogis from India. They say bliss. And Prabhupada says it too. In New York, 66-69. Bliss. So this is the Sandra Abdim Ati Nirmalam. Mahananda, just taste that bliss. Charvaniya Mahananda. Taste that intense joy and bliss of the spiritual world, which is so constant. It's a concentrated ocean of the greatest bliss. And it's completely topmost expression of purity. This is the land of Vrindavan. It is pure, ati nirmalam, but it is sandrabdim. Mahananda Sandra, it's concentrated, packed. We're approaching the land of bliss. So this is, let's see another translation to this one. 59, is it? Please meditate on the ocean of very sweet bliss. That is the very pure, glorious, and wonderful splendor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead there. So as I mentioned, this book is telling to meditate on the abode, and the other translation is saying meditate on who's in the abode. Tadantak paramashcharyam. Because in that, tadanta means in that place. In that place. There's something paramashcharyam. And that most paramashcharyam, the most amazing, wonderful feature of that abode is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So the other translator is directing our meditation to the person, personal Godhead. Text 16. Mahasu vistirantamam mahojwala tamam param lokadi birgani bhavir mahitam hadadbhutam. That abode is vast, effulgent, and simply wonderful. All their planets constantly glorify that abode. That wonderful realm is very large and splendid and glorified by loving devotees. Quite different twist. Glorified by loving devotees. Lokadi birga. Lokadi birgani bhaver. So this is the abode. Meditate on Vrindavan. It's transcendental. Oh no, it's the next verse. It's very wonderful. Adbhutam, Mahadadbhutam. All their planets are glorifying that abode. 61. Tadantare tatopyatyascharyam jyotiranusmara karshyam mahaswachatamam paravaravivarjitam. Then just meditate on the more brightly shining abode that is situated beyond the transcendental abode of the Supreme Lord. It is black, most transparent, and devoid of beginning or end. It's going on farther into the expanse of the spiritual firmament. Within that splendor is a very wonderful, very great, limitless splendor of Lord Krishna. Please meditate in this way. This one translator is pretty bent on the personal viewpoint. 62. Mahadiptam Maharamyam Mahamohanam Adbhutam Mahapremati Sundaryam Mahananda Rasotsavam. That great island is most sublime, most enchanting, most wonderful, charming, and full of bliss and ecstatic love. That splendor is very effulgent, delightful, charming, wonderful, and beautiful. It is filled with great transcendental love and is a great festival of nectar, of great transcendental bliss. That's nice. Very similar. Rasotsavam, festival of rasa. A rasa festival. Tato durantare jyoti sarvashchar yotavadi sarvavati sumaho jvalam sarvotamattamam. All glories to the self-illuminating abode that is situated beyond this abode and which is the limit of all wonder. It is the supreme abode of the Lord because it illuminates even the most shining objects. So I think we're going from abode to abode to abode here. It's like Gopa Kumar in Brihad Bhagavatamrita. He's going from one planet to another planet, from one level to another level. From Ayodhya to Dwarka, from Dwarka to Vrindavan to Puri to... So the author is taking us up, 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 up and away, as they say. Different realms. Are you ready? We're getting closer. All glories to that self-illuminating abode that is beyond this abode, and which is the limit of all wonder. In other words, so far we've been describing the Vaikuntha realm, and it was just so wonderful and enchanting and this and that, all that. It is the supreme abode of the Lord because it illuminates even the most shining objects. Deep within that splendid world is the most wonderful, splendid, and exalted realm. The suspense is building. Where are we going? We're traveling at light years per second. We're going to this abode and that abode. Oh, this one's wonderful. It's ecstatic. It's full of love. No, keep going. Lord Chaitanya told Ramananda Roy, don't stop. Don't stop with Varnashram Dharma. And don't stop with Karma Samarpanam. And don't stop with this. Don't stop with Karma Mishra Bhakti. And don't stop with Gyan Mishra Bhakti. And don't stop with Dasya Bhakti. And don't stop with Sakya Bhakti. And don't stop with Vatsalya Bhakti. And don't stop. And then he got to Prem Vivarta, and then he said, stop. That's enough. So we're going on. Hang on to your, fasten your seatbelts. 64. Mahavaimalya Simanta Parananda Paravidu Krishna Prema Rasardinam Charama Paramodaya. This is like a wild mouse ride in the fun park. It's going higher and higher and higher. It's like when Krishna swings at Radharani. She just wants to swing slow and peacefully, listen to the trees, leaves in the trees fluttering. And Krishna is very mischievous. So he's pushing off with his feet and he signals to the gopis. Manjari's pushing him from the front and back faster, faster. And he's pushing off with his feet. They're going faster and faster and Radharani's becoming frightened and they're going higher and higher. They go so high that their backs are touching the branches of the tree. And finally what happens is the swing goes higher and higher and higher. And finally it swings all the way around, 360 degrees. It makes a complete circle. And Radha and Krishna fly out to swing. And Krishna lands on his feet just like a cat in the Sringadeva. You know, cats, if you flip them up in the air, they always land on their feet. So Krishna lands, jumps off the... you know, just flies off the swing like some acrobat out of a movie and lands on his feet and Radharani comes down and Krishna grabs her in a tight embrace. So we're traveling through these universes, but we're getting to the point. That abode is the limit of all purity, all transcendental happiness, and the wealth of transcendental mellows of ecstatic love for Krishna. Krishna Prema Rasardinam. That was 64. And that splendid realm is the ultimate limit of purity, the ultimate limit of transcendental bliss, the ultimate limit of transcendental opulences that are nectaring mellows of spiritual love for Lord Krishna. So Leela, I told you, is going on in this that abode which we're approaching. Kamanya rasa matre jat sparsha nitya vivarjitam maha shuddha kama bija Rajatmat yuan unmadam rasam. Vrindavan is completely aloof from any touch of mellow other than the mellow of eternal conjugal love. There you have it. Yeah, we're explaining. Only Sringar ras. Kamanyam ras, kama ras, kamanuga bhakti. Kamanuga bhakti of those sakis. Kamanya rasamatre yat sparsha nitya vivarjitam. For time immemorial, nothing else touches that land of Vrindavan. Because of this Mahashuddha, the greatest expression, the most pure and highest, topmost pure expression of the Kama Beach, the seed of desire, the seed of love, is expressed there in that realm, not in Vaikuntha. Kama Beach is also in Vaikuntha. Kling. Kling. Calm beach. It can't even touch. There's nothing touches there. Rajatmat yun madam rasam. Vrindavan is the most sanctified personification of Kama Beach, and therefore overwhelmingly ecstatic. Unmad rasam. The Kama Beach expresses it, the seed of conjugal love, the seed of desire expresses itself there in Vrindavan to the level of Mahabhav, Unmad, Divyonmad Mahabhav. Unmad Rasam, not possible anywhere in the other realms of Vaikuntha that we just traveled over. And not even possible in Dwarka, there's only a touch of Rudha Bhav. When the queens are in separation from Krishna and they're crying out. It's called the Mahishi Gita, chapter 90 of the 10th canto. There's a touch of Rudha Bhav, but not Adi Rudha. There's some touch of Mahabhav, but just hardly anything. That's Dwarka. Like Kunta, forget it. And only 2.5 rasas there. Shantadas and half of Madhurya. There's no question of feeling separation in regular marriage. Only in Parakya. Half of Madhurya Ras is there in Vaikuntha, Swakya. Lakshmi is lawfully, legally married to Narayan. He's always there, she's always there. Oh, soham. Humdrum, soham. But there's no that thrill, that suspense, that possibility of meeting or not meeting, or that separation, or the fleeting moments of meeting, or extended meetings, or it's not there, only in Parakya Ras, Parakya Bhav. So therefore this Mahabhav is a feature of this viraha, separation. Not possible even in Dwarka. In a true form. Vishnath Chakravarti comments in Sartadarshi in 90th chapter, he calls it Rudha Bhav. It's a verse is that also in Sanskrit, Vyasadeva. But it's Anabhas, the semblance of the gopis. It's text 66. Tadantas tadgaram bhati shimad brindavanam vanam Purna Madhurya Samrajyam Purna Ananda Chamat Kriti. Ah, we've made it. We almost got stuck in those other great islands of bliss and purity. Islands, those planetary islands floating in the Paravyom, vast. Paravyom, probably translated Paravyom as what? Spiritual sky. Going back, Godhead. Going back home. Back to the spiritual sky. And we had an incense company. And when I was in L.A., there was an incense company in Culver City called Spiritual Sky Incense. And we used to sell those in the parking lots. Night Queen was purple in color, was one of the flavors. Strawberry, Night Queen, Jasmine, Vanilla. We used to have a bag full of Bhagavatams and incense. Want some incense? And people say, what is it? They were so like out of it in those days, in the 70s. And we say it's a car freshener. Because they had these little cardboard things that smell like pine cones. A little cardboard thing dipped in pine needles or something, pine oil. So people put it in their car because they smoke in the car and it stinks and this and that. And so it's like air freshener. People put in their bathrooms and things. It's very common car fresheners. So we introduced the spiritual sky incense as car fresheners. Fresh, because we did parking lots with these. In the airport, we didn't do that. But on Saturday, it was slow in the airport. Monday to Friday, the businessmen. So Saturdays, we went to the parking lots. Kmart and Safeway and Pathmark and Sears and Roebuck and Macy's and malls and all these places over there. Ran around the parking lots with our incense and Bhagavatams. It's so funny. We're selling incense all day long. We never lit one stick. On the book distribution, Harinam, I told you one pastime. Not pastime, but one anecdote. When I was a bhakta, they said, you walk with a kirtan, you walk with a party. It was like first Harinam. And because they had flags, and they had incense and conch shells and so many things they would take out. And big plastic bags full of little paper bags of popcorn, about 200 grams of popcorn. And we distribute free popcorn prasad. It's really nice. Really nice. Very nice prasad, actually. People like it a lot. Hot, fresh popcorn with nice ghee. So I would be at night at Hollywood Boulevard or in the other place, in LA, Hollywood Boulevard, or the UCLA campus. Where is that located? Some city, I forget. Westwood. Westwood is a part of LA where the UCLA campus is. Westwood. You were from San Francisco. So we go to the UCLA campus, and they said, light the incense. So I have a big bag full of incense, and the whole time we're going around burning incense. So I had this big stack, and then I lit it, and I told this story recently. And I caught a fire, and I was going like this. I had about 100 sticks, and I couldn't put it out. So I just said, okay. I just held it like this. And I'm walking down the street, and people were looking at me. You know, these Hare Krishnas are going to burn somebody up or something. Bearing torches and going through the street with flaming torches. Probably came out in the newspaper the next day. Mad Krishnas hit Hollywood with flaming torches or something. So I got down close to my hand and then I flipped it in the street. You know? Funny time. The early days of far away from the Braja Dham. That's the Tapastan. Prabhudatta Desh. This is, what was that, 66. In that realm of Vrindavan, within that Vrindavan is a more splendid realm that is the beautiful forest of Vrindavan. The forest of Vrindavan is a great empire of complete transcendental sweetness. It's a great wonder of complete transcendental bliss. And then we have, quite abbreviated here. Within this abode lies the forest of Vrindavan, which is the most amazing kingdom of complete sweetness. Purnamadurya samrajyam. Srimad Vrindavanam vanam tarantas tadgharam bhati. It's saturated. Vrindavan is saturated. It's thick. It's condensed milk. Burfi. You cook down milk, it becomes condensed milk. And you cook down condensed milk, and it becomes burfi. And some burfis are better than other burfis. There's grade 1 burfi, grade 2, grade 3. USDA, isn't it? One of the most world's famous burfis was at Bhaktivedanta Manor. Yes. Their name is deities Radha Gokulanandas Mahaprasad. And there are some special devotees there, some special cooks over there. I don't remember their names, but some ladies or gentlemen, I don't remember. But it was considered a great that you did a lot of punya and a lot of tapasya, that if someone would come to you and give you some of that burfi. Consider that after maybe 5 or 6 years of Chaturmasya Bruts and 10 or 20 Ekadasi, Nirjali Ekadasi Jagrans, that you may have enough punya sukriti to get a piece of burfi from Radha Gokulananda. So this particular lady has a very pure bhav. There's one lady, Pajari, there, devotee, cooking there. And she took a sankalpa in front of Gokulananda and Radharani that I'm cooking, my service, Guru's Seva, is to cook your milk sweets, and sandesh and sweet rice and burfi and rasmalai, etc. And this particular lady has a very pure bhav. And a pure seva bhav, mood of seva. No payment, no kickback, no commission, no profit. What's in it for me doesn't exist in her consciousness. She says, her bhav was, my Lord, my Guru has asked me to serve you by this service. This is my service. It was like a mandri. Mandri may have some service, so she just wants to do it perfectly. So this lady, she said, Lady Devotee, she said, my Lord, if you please empower me to serve you, because how can I serve you? Radharani is cooking for you. How can I match the cooking of Radharani? But somehow in this particular plane of Archa Vigraha worship, I've been asked to cook for you. So please empower me to cook beautifully and nicely so you'll be truly pleased. And I promise you that I won't take to eat any of this Mahaprasadam. I won't taste any of it, derive any pleasure or satisfaction from my own senses, but just make it come out wonderful and pleasing. I suppose she is begging Radharani, because everything goes through Radharani's hand. Radharani, please empower me to please your Gokulananda. And apparently it's her prayers were answered. The sincerity of her heart was accepted by the Lord. And it's been resoundingly proven by the universal acceptance and approval of all the Vaishnavas. If every Vaishnava approves of what you're doing, then you must be doing something right. But in some cases, some may approve and some may disapprove. But when there's universal acceptance, then that's the best. Not always possible in this age of difference. But somehow this Burfi has become the world's famous standard of excellence. So we can only... anyway, that's Vrindavan. That consciousness of that devotee, that's Vrindavan consciousness. And that's what we're reading about. This text 66 says that that forest of Vrindavan is a great empire. You see that in the translation, Samrajyam. Samrajyam. It's a great empire of the most perfect sweetness, the most perfect nectar, and a host of all fortunate trees, vines, birds, deer, and other creatures. So what makes Vrindavan sweet is Madhurya Purushottam Krishna and all the Madhurya Bhaktas that are fully and totally dedicated to the pleasure of Krishna. So that makes Vrindavan so supremely sweet. It's called Samartha Rati. The gopis have Samartha Rati. They don't want any kickback. But the queens of Dwarka, and the Lakshmis of Vaikuntha, their rati, or their loving attachment and sweetness of the love, is tinged with a touch of transcendental desire to derive some happiness from their beloved Vishnu or Dwarkadish. So the Acharyas categorize their pure love and prema as less pure. It's called Samanjasa. Samanjasa rati. There is something for them. They want 99.9% everything for Krishna's pleasure, Dwarkadish or Vishnu's pleasure, but 1% they want experience some happiness. Well, the gopis are, there's no self there. There's no consideration of self. Their selves don't exist. That the totality of themselves, of their selves, has merged into the heart and mind of Krishna, only existing for his pleasure. So their gopis are described self-forgetful. They don't even know who they are or where they are. They're lost in the ocean of dedication, just floating on waves of surrender and moment-to-moment service to Krishna. They don't know. They have to sometimes even think they're Krishna. We never find any account of Lakshmi forgetting that she's Lakshmi. And you never find any account of Rukmini forgetting she's Rukmini. She's very proud of that fact. She always remembers I'm number one. So that Satyabhama doesn't get out of line. So now there's one more verse in this chapter. Verse 77. Let's go to that one. This is Satika 7. Trijali kula sanada datta shavana sokkaya divya komala karpura parago jvala baloke. more kaleidoscope, glories of Vrindavan, Vrindavan Mahima. The sweet sounds of the birds and bees are very pleasing to the ears. Dwija, Ali. Dwija birds, Ali bees. Kula, those groups and families. Sannada, complete sound. Datta Shravana Sokaya. Huh. They give happiness to the ears. Divya Komala Karpura. The banks of the Yamuna are filled with sand.
That resembles
soft powdered camphor. Divya Komala. Transcendentally soft. So what is the difference between Komala and Divya Komala? Because it says Divya Komala Karpura Parag. Parag means dust, doesn't it? It's fine powder. Banks of the Yamuna and the powdered sand, the soft powdered camphor white sands of the banks of the Yamuna. What distinguishes it, makes it transcendental, is the pastimes of the transcendent Lord and his lady, the divine couple, Radha Gopinath. And every particle of that sand, what we call sand, is actually prema. So that's prema is transcendental. And that is the softest thing. Divya Komala Karpura. When one contacts prema, particle of that dust, or you can say that sand on the banks of the Jamuna, it's, if we contact that, our hearts will become soft, komal, with those transcendental sentiments, divya komal, and our hearts will become fragrant like camphor, and very cool like camphor. Camphor is cooling. Camphor has some characteristics. It's white, so it gives the impression of purity. Purity is associated with shukla, the white color. And camphor is fragrant, and it's an attractive fragrance. And the combination of that purity and that whiteness and that fragrance creates a cooling effect. Purity itself is cooling. When we contact purity, it cools the mind. If we contact a pure devotee, our minds become cool like camphor. If we contact a pure abode, even in nature, we come to some pure scenery, our minds become cool. Beautiful lakes surrounded by green trees, and blue sky and puffy white clouds blowing overhead. It's purity, natural purity of nature, material purity. Our minds become fresh, cool, calm, sattva-gun. So this is the banks of Jamuna. Sweet sounds of birds and bees are pleasing to the ears. The sweet sounds of birds and bees by the Yamuna delight the ears. The entire area of the Yamuna bears a splendid and delicate scent of camphor pollen. That's very nice. Because this word actually means pollen. Parag Ujvala. Parag, the word parag means pollen. The dust inside the flowers. Ujvala, shining, brilliant. They say, I've read here and there, that natural karpur is produced from a tree that looks something like a banana tree. Kind of like a plant type tree. It's soft. And the inside core of that, there's camphor in there or something. It's not a regular big hard bark and all that kind of thing tree. The core of that, it's in the banana family. Just like palm trees. Palm trees make dates. But there's also a palm tree that makes betel. They're growing in by the long building in Mayapur. There's a group of, they're not very tall. They're only about 15 feet tall. Jananivas planted them there right next to Prabhupada's garden near the lotus building and the long building. There's about six or eight of them there when I was there a few years ago. And they're not tall. And they take off the, sopari, a betel nut. And then he has a special cutter for cutting. He dries it out, then he cuts it in little flakes. Like, make the Lord's tumble bhatika for Radha Madhav. So this is a nice translation. The great stream of the sweet, oh, is it? No. The entire area bears the splendid and delicate scent of camphor pollen. So this is a natural incense in the air. There's Malayan breezes blowing, carrying sandalwood in the air. And there's these trees, these banana-like trees, camphor trees emitting camphor. The flowers of the camphor tree are emitting camphor scent to saturate the air. It sound, because what happens on the banks of the Yamuna, those banks of the Yamuna, what goes on there? Rasa dance, Yamuna Pulina, Rasa Lila. So when you dance, you perspire. You become hot. And what a better way to cool down than to get sandalwood breezes blowing in your face. Sometimes you go in these temples and they have some utsav, full bungalow. They have some weird contraption with a big propeller blade and some kind of big fan, standing fan. And there's some little vial of some kind of fake scent or something. And it blows little particles of water through the air. So all the people, it's in the summertime, they have these full bungalows, so in the air they're blowing this fragrant air. The air is blowing, cool air, some type of air is blowing from this fan, and these little water particles scented with rose or kewra or something. Have you ever smelled? In some of these temples. They also use them in weddings and stuff, and pandals. Some funky contraption costs about 500 rupees or something. Makes a lot of noise. And all the kids stand in front of it all the time. Adults don't pay much attention, but so that's a pretty artificial idea, but here we're hearing about the real thing. This is a real three-dimensional experience, or a four-dimensional experience, and Radha and Krishna having rasa dance there, relishing the sights and the sounds and the fragrances and the touch. All their senses are fully enveloped and relishing the ras, sparsha ras, and the adhara amrita, the adhara amrita ras of kissing each other and the touch of their bodies, arm to arm, shoulder to shoulder, cheek to cheek, hand to hand, and the sparsha rasa, and then the Gandha rasa, we're hearing about the Gandha rasa, the fragrance of the Malayan breezes carrying sandalwood enriched air blowing off the Yamuna. We feel happy and relieved if we just get a cool breeze. If a cool breeze blows on a hot day from the Yamuna or just kind of blows off the fields, we get a lot of those cool breezes here on the roof, as you know, you're sleeping there. Imagine if that cool breeze is saturated with chandan and camphor. Wow. Turn off your air coolers, throw away your air conditioners, and dance. Radha Rasvihari, Radha Rasvihari, Radhe. So on that note, we'll close the seventh chapter. Glories of, random glories of Vrindavan.